Well, good morning, church. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here at Metro Life Church. Let me add my welcome and happy Father's Day to you all. I hope that you have a wonderful day celebrating. Thank you to the voice in the back. Would you turn with me to Psalm chapter 119? And today, as you turn to Psalm 119, we're going to continue in that series. But once again, I want to express my gratitude to Nevaeh Lewis for using her talents to capture a bit of our pastoral prayer today. So would you turn your attention to the screens as TruthQuest and Bridge 46 introduce our pastoral prayer for the day.
Thank you, Mama, Daddy.
Giving me grace even when I don't deserve it.
For taking me to the water park.
For helping me.
For taking me fishing.
Taking my hiking sometimes.
Thank you, Dad, for making me chicken piccata last night.
Thank you, Jesus, for my dad and that we get to spend time together playing Legos.
Thank you for being hardworking and being understanding when I feel like no one else is.
Thank you, Daddy. Thank you for my daddy.
Giving me grace even when I don't deserve it.
For taking me to the water park.
For helping me.
For taking me fishing.
Taking my hiking sometimes.
Thank you, Dad, for making me chicken piccata last night.
Thank you, Jesus, for my dad and that we get to spend time together playing Legos.
Thank you for being hardworking and being understanding when I feel like no one else is.
Thank you, Daddy.
All right, we're not going to let it play a third time.
Thank you, Daddy.
Maybe we are.
What? For taking me to the water park.
For helping.
All right, I got a question in the form of two words. Chicken piccata? My kids were lucky to get hot dogs and mac and cheese out of this, Father. So Connor Green will be teaching our Grow class on how to be a good dad coming this fall, right in the kitchen at Metro Life Church. I don't even know what chicken piccata is. It sounds amazing. Like I said, hot dogs and mac and cheese were what my kids were lucky to get. This morning's pastoral prayer is going to be for the men in the church. And I've wrestled with this a bit, not just because I think this is a wonderful opportunity to pray for the men in the church on Father's Day, not just fathers, but all of the men in the church. But as I watch headlines spring up all around the world, I watch turmoil in the Middle East. I watch devastation in the North and loss of life through political realms. I see rallies and birthday parades or whatever that was. This is a troubled world. And my concern today is that there are troubled men in this world, potentially even in this church. So I'm not going to change today's pastoral prayer because of all of the external circumstances. I'm going to focus today's pastoral prayer because I believe that God is calling a generation of men up to be stable in an unstable world. So that's what's going to direct our prayers today. Would you join me in this prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you with gratitude for the men in this church, young and old, fathers, father figures, dads to be, married, single, each one created in your image, called to reflect your strength, your compassion, your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for the gift and calling of manhood, not defined by culture's confusion, but by your very word. You've shown us that true manhood is not about dominance, but about responsibility, not about pride, but humility, not about self-preservation, but sacrificial love. We remember Jesus, the perfect man, who led with truth, served with tenderness, protected the weak, wept over the broken, and gave his life to redeem the lost. May he be the pattern the men of this church follow. Raise up in this church men who walk in step with the Holy Spirit, whose strength is used to serve, whose words build up rather than tear down, whose hands are ready for work, and whose hearts are wholly yours. For the fathers in this room, may they be faithful stewards of the lives entrusted to them, modeling grace, discipline, and delight. May their children see a man who walks with God. For the single men, may they know that their identity is not lacking, May they walk in holiness, courage, and purpose, using this season to glorify you and to serve others. For the grandfathers and mentors, may their wisdom not go to waste. Help them to invest deeply in the next generation, passing on the faith with joy and intentionality. And for all of the men of this church, Lord, root them deeply in the gospel. Quick to repent, eager to forgive, bold in faith, gentle in spirit. Shape them into disciple makers who lead not just in their homes, but in the church, in the workplace, and in our city for the good of others, for the glory of your name. Let the legacy of manhood in this church be one of faithfulness, not flash. Of perseverance, not perfection. Of godliness, not just giftedness. We commit the men of Metro Life Church to you, asking that you strengthen what is weak, restore what is broken, ignite what has grown cold. Make us men of the word, men of worship, men of prayer, men of purpose. In the strong and saving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining with me in that. I hope you've had a moment to turn to Psalm chapter 119. This is the third in our Summer in the Psalm series. And as we look today at verses 17 through 24, I thought I might use the occasion of Father's Day to kind of introduce an illustration that I think will be helpful to guide us along the way. And there's a three-word phrase in our home that either leads to rejoicing or confusion. And it's not, I love you. It's, ask your father. I think you laugh because you know exactly what I'm describing. For some people, ask your father is the phrase where dreams go to die. For others, depending on the child sometimes, within the same family, depending on the child, ask your father says, you're telling me there's a chance. In our house, if ask your father is said in one room and I pick up on it, and I'm just going to admit, this is Ella that this happens with most often now. Our boys are out of the house, but Ella will come in, and I can see Stephanie over her shoulder, and I'm kind of doing this number. Give me a hint as to what you want me to say here, because that's what I call a lose-lose situation. Ask your father is a terrifying phrase for me as the father being asked, because I realize I'm in trouble either way. Ask your father. The psalm writer today tells us to ask our heavenly father. This is not a place where dreams go to be dashed. This is not, you're telling me there's a chance. Ask your father is a sure and steady word in a world filled with confusion. In a world that is not our home. So ask your father is a tremendous phrase of hope for us today, sojourners in this land. And I wonder if just before we get started today, it doesn't help us to take a moment and look at what it means for God to be our true father. He's both sovereign in his rule over us and yet intimately present in our lives. God the Father combines his authority and faithfulness in this personal and experiential relationship through the Holy Spirit. In other words, ask your Father isn't us trying to make our way into his presence, trying to make our voice heard amid the din of his other children. Ask your Father is the intimacy of relationship with a sovereign God who loves you and is for you. No earthly relationship with any father, chicken piccata or not, can compare. I can't wait for the people that didn't hear the pastoral prayer online to have no idea what I'm referencing right there. God's fatherhood means that he is exercising a divine authority and a covenant relationship at the same time. They're not competing with one another. It's not as if we have to toggle based on our own performance to understand that relationship that we have with God. No, he both secures and assures us of that relationship through Jesus Christ. He governs all things through Christ. He brings us into his family. He makes us heirs of this promise as we were just singing in worship. Romans 8, chapter 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, Father." That's both legal standing that we have in God through justification. It's also this reality that we can experience in this intimate communion with Him. It's what the meal of communion that we'll celebrate in just a few moments points us to as a reminder. It's not just that we have this meal with Him. We can commune with Him at all times. Galatians 4:6 affirms this by saying, because you are sons, God has sent His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This shows that through regeneration, this renewal in our hearts, and this indwelling Spirit that we have, we can experience God not only as King, but as this tender Father who draws us into deep fellowship with Him. God as our true Father cherishes the present ministry of the Holy Spirit, who assures us of His fatherly love and our identity as sons and daughters. In John 14:23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is a real ongoing relationship. It gives us a picture of the nearness of God with us as we walk through this life. God as our true Father is the sovereign Lord who lovingly adopts us, awakens our spirit to call on Him in a childlike trust. He walks with us in this dynamic, Spirit-filled communion, and He shapes us into the likeness of His Son. What a wonderful true Father we have. And our focus today in Psalm 119, verses 17 through 24, is going to be on three key elements as we break these passages down. We're going to look at what it looks like to ask God for help, what it looks like to ask God for power, and to ask God for persistence in the midst of opposition. So let's begin to read Psalm 119, verses 17 and 18. We're going to ask your Father for help. Deal bountifully with your servant, the psalmist says, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. This is a plea that the psalmist starts with in this new letter in the Hebrew alphabet. This cry for help calls out as one who is a servant of the king that he would be able to live and keep the word. There's a cry out, not just that he would deal bountifully, but he would also give him the ability to have his eyes opened and illuminated to the things of this word. The psalmist is acknowledging a dependence on God, a reliance on God as his only source for spiritual help in the midst of spiritual weariness. I appreciated Debbie's word this morning as she's talking about this lens that we can have at times where we see the promises of God as something that is so far off. And how often do we live in that way where the promises of God, we see it through this lens where we only see what's far off and we neglect what is so near and dear to us. The Father wants to minister to us in the midst of those moments as well. There's this reliance that we have on God, not just for the future, but for the present as well. And His presence is present everywhere that we go through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is what it means for the psalmist to say, deal bountifully with me. His presence is near to him, but more than that, he's saying, open my eyes, give me this illumination to understand what is wondrous about your law. He's saying, let me see this, and as I look and look again, reveal things to me from your word that they may be an understanding. It may be something that applies to my life. You know, children turn to their fathers easily for instruction. And church, we have to turn to our Heavenly Father for guidance in this life. It's an important reminder on a day when we honor earthly fathers for their support and love that it ultimately points us to the care and love of our Father in heaven. I remember each one of my children as they were learning how to ride a bicycle. It was a unique experience. And not just because with each passing year I got slower and slower and could not run and keep up with them longer. Perhaps, Dad, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. And if not, well, then you're a better dad than I. You can teach with Connor next fall. There came a point, not because I'm trying to teach them a lesson, but because they're pedaling in a way that gets out ahead of me, that there's that moment of release. You know, that's a payday for a dad. It's a payday for a dad in this earth. But you know, I fear that too many of us live as if the Lord has saved us and then released us into the wild on our own. As a true father, he is the only one who can keep up with us. He will never let you go. That's the promise of God's word. What are you walking through right now? That you need to look to him for his divine assistance. You know, there came that moment. It was usually that first bike crash where my kids would look back and realize I'm way further behind than what they expected. When you look to see the Father, you will realize he is closer and nearer at hand than you can imagine. That's not the only difference, and clearly this illustration falls short, but we are encouraged to bring our needs to God. We are encouraged to trust him for provision and wisdom. And ultimately, the help that we need is to keep God's word in our own hearts. That's what verse 17 acknowledges, that the word of God is life to the servant. And verse 18 proclaims how wonderful God's word is, along with a plea for the eyes to be opened. Help me to see, help me to understand. So I ask you this morning, where in your life do you most feel your need for God's help right now? Are you currently approaching God's word with humility, asking him to open your eyes to see it in beauty and truth? How can you grow this week in trusting God and treating prayer not as a task, but a relational cry to your true Father for help and insight? Let's continue to read together. Verse 19 of Psalm 119. We're going to ask our Father for power. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Now, as we move to verses 19 and 20, the psalmist asks for power. And he says something that's a little bit different than what we saw in the psalm last week. He says that I am a sojourner. Last week we saw this idea of being a wanderer in this earth. We wander away from the truths of God. And this week the psalmist uses the phrase a sojourner. That's a traveler who is moving toward a different destination. So last week, the psalmist is addressing our hearts and how they wander away from the things of God. This week, he's saying, as we are walking through this life, we are headed toward a different eternal destination. That's a good reminder for us, church. This world is not your home. You are a sojourner in this world. The psalmist is not using the word wanderer last week and sojourner this week to try to paint a similar picture. Actually, he's painting an opposite picture this week. He's saying, you have a different eternal destination for those who are in Christ. It's a good reminder not to live for the things of the world. The psalmist is acknowledging that he feels like an outsider in a world that opposes God's truth. We're misplaced in this world. It should never feel comfortable to us. It should never feel like this place where we are settling in. You know, this is a powerful word to use to illustrate our spiritual journey as pilgrims and strangers. As we navigate a world that frequently seeks to lure us to wander through temptation and distraction. I wonder if one that we might consider this morning is a culture that highlights and says it's to be esteemed to be self-dependent. I think about some years ago, it was popular to say that that's a self-made man, that's a self-made woman. And we almost kind of esteemed that they don't need anybody's help. They are self-made. And I think that while that phrase may not be as popular today, that attitude remains the same. A self-dependence. See, the psalmist takes a different approach. He says, there's nothing I can depend on in myself. I need divine power. There is a plea for divine empowerment. As I am this sojourner in the world, do not hide your commandments from me. Let what my soul is consumed by be your very word of life for me. You know, I wonder how many times we might strike out in this world and try to accomplish something on our own. Perhaps it's a Bible reading plan. Maybe it's being a part of a prayer group or perhaps community groups, and then life just kind of gets in the way. There's schedules, there's people. They use the word mandatory a lot. Schools and sports teams love those phrases. Mandatory. You take my money, you work for me. Mandatory. Oh, I'm sorry, is that just my attitude? Okay, never mind. Maybe that's a different conversation. First Lady will adjust that later. I wonder how often we even treat Sunday as the only day that we tap into a spiritual source of power that's available to us. We get to Thursday and we wonder, why is my attitude, why is my disposition in life this way? Because we're treating church like it's this fill-up spot, and yet we have the very words of life with us at all times and in all places. Oftentimes, just a simple click away. And we ignore this all throughout the week, and we wonder, why is it that we are so spiritually hungry? We are sojourners, and this world is not our own, but the very source of life is right here, church. In His Word, in His law given to us, that we might live for His glory and for the good of others. This is the opposite of self-dependence. This is the opposite of being esteemed in the world's eyes. This is being seen as one who humbly comes to the Father asking for power because you recognize your great need and His great supply. Jesus taught in Matthew 7:7-11, that we are invited to ask, we are invited to seek, we are invited to knock with the assurance that our loving Father will not withhold what is beneficial for us. As a matter of fact, we're actually shown that Christ is of that different kingdom, that we are sojourners headed toward that different kingdom. But He also uses the phrase that He is the bread of life in the midst of that. And who is it that comes to His Father and asks for bread will be given a stone? In other words, if your soul is spiritually weary today and you need the nourishment that only Christ can provide, He is the bread of life. If you come to Him humbly asking for power, He will nourish you so that you can be empowered to live for Him. Seek, ask, knock. This word is sustenance for the weary traveler. So in what areas of your life are you tempted to live in your own power rather than God's power? Where are you feeling spiritually weary? And what would it look like to rely on the Word of God as your nourishment again? I wonder if we're allowing our spiritual identity as a sojourner to shape the decisions that we face in our homes, at work, in everyday life. Lastly, we see that we can ask our Father for persistence. Let's continue to read in Psalm 119, verse 21. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones, who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. You know, when you read the Psalms, you realize the psalmist is going through it. He's going through some stuff. He's facing opposition in this life. And perhaps you face this in your family. Perhaps you face this amongst your friend group. Perhaps you face this with your coworkers or any number of circumstances you can face this type of opposition. It's not just that you have nations raging against you. You have the people that once said they loved you, now saying they don't understand you anymore. And you realize not only do we have to ask God for help, not only do we have to ask God for power as we've seen so far, we have to ask God for persistence in the face of opposition. How often is opposition what we give into the most to shut down sharing about our faith? How often is opposition the very thing that drains us spiritually the fastest? How often is it the opposition in this world that we face that causes our hearts to be so burdened so quickly? In these verses, we encounter the challenge of persistence amidst opposition. We're reminded that God is the one who rebukes the proud, the ones who stray, the cursed. And what we're being invited into here is the psalmist is inviting us to see how God's statutes provide stability to withstand external pressures. This is the comprehensive nature of God's word. It not only provides sustenance for us, it also provides stability for us. Perhaps that opposition that you're facing says, well, I might lose my job if I say something. I try to say this in fairness and kindness, but losing your job is nothing to God as our provider. But we need persistence in the midst of that, don't we? Persistence not just in the midst of this sojourning, but persistence to live for the kingdom that we are headed toward. Yes, there will be times of opposition. We trust God. This section of this psalm is an invitation to trust God through prayer. Trust God through prayer. We see this asking that is happening of God. That's that relationship that happens through prayer. But in the midst of that, we are trusting God that He is the one who is the answer to those prayers. He is the source of the answer to those prayers. Opinions fly fast in this world, don't they? Judgments prevail. They draw us into debates. They draw us into times of discouragement. And yet, amidst all of that, the wind and the waves of the opinion and the prevailing spirit of this age, the Word remains our anchor. We have to cling to God's truth as our guiding light, especially when others oppose our faith or our values. We have to trust God that He will deal with the arrogant and disobedient. Let us be those who are humble and obedient. We have to trust God that He will hear our prayers for relief from persecution. We trust Him. And as we do so, we keep His testimonies. As it says in verse 22, as we do trust Him, we meditate on His statutes, as it says in verse 23. As we do trust Him, we delight in His counsel, as it says in verse 24. Are you facing resistance right now? Whether it's external, whether it's something in your own heart, and when you're trying to pursue God faithfully, what is that thing that you're facing? How can you make meditation on God's word a daily discipline that fuels a perseverance, this fruit of the Spirit born out in our lives? And I wonder, as we evaluate our own lives, when opposition does come, how quickly is it that we retreat to the voices of the culture versus the counsel of the word? This is where prayer is an act of trust. The call to ask God or ask your Father is a call to a life of prayer. And in the midst of those prayers, we're declaring our trust in God. You know, you realize the flip side of that is that when we do not pray, we declare that our trust is in many other things other than God Himself. Studying this has brought to mind, as I've been looking at it the last few weeks, Psalm chapter 20, especially verse 7, where it says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of our Lord. Perhaps some of you are already singing the song a little bit. You know, Psalm 20 and 21 go together. Psalm chapter 20 is a cry for help from the psalmist. As a matter of fact, the header of the psalm actually says that it is a prayer of trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20 is a complimentary psalm because it is the song of rejoicing after the answer to prayer. It's the song of rejoicing after the song of prayer. And in Psalm chapter 21, verse 7, it says this, for the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. This is him looking back on the victory of the Lord. Someday we will look back in eternity and see the victory of the Lord. But we don't have to wait until that day to realize that the victory of the Lord came through us through the cross of Jesus Christ, when he laid down his life for us. The victory of the Lord came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he overcame death and the grave. The victory of the Lord came as he was ascended on high and is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me right now. If you can't trust in your prayers, guess whose prayers you can trust in? The one who lived the perfect life, the one who died the death that you could not die, the one who was raised to life again and now is seated there. You can trust the prayers of Christ on your behalf, who is interceding for you right now. His prayers are always answered for eternity. God, the true Father. Christ, the truly anointed one. The Holy Spirit, who truly empowers us. How does your current prayer life reflect or not reflect a genuine trust in God as your true Father? What would you change in an area of need if you needed clarity or strength or endurance? What would change if you first turned to the Father in prayer before turning elsewhere? Like the psalmist, Christ depended on the Father's help. Christ depended on the Father's power. Christ depended on the Father's presence in the midst of rejection and adversity. As we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, and we reflect on Matthew 7:7-11, let us remember how Jesus, the bread of life, was given that we may be made whole. Christ perfectly exemplified seeking help, leaning on the Father's power, and remaining persistent through opposition so that we would be saved, giving his life a redemption for ours. And in conclusion on this Father's Day, whether you remain outside the body of believers or a committed follower of Jesus Christ, the invitation to ask your Father is yours to embrace. If you've yet to place your trust in Christ, the invitation is clear. Bring your burdens, bring your need for help, bring your longing for power and guidance to the one who never fails. As an act of receiving the grace extended to you, trust in him today for the forgiveness of your sins. Believe in your heart and confess that he is Lord. For those of us who already walk with Christ, may we continue to rely on his strength and let his word guide us through every season, especially when faced with opposition. Church, let's stand and sing in response together this morning.